Today, in our wisdom journey through God's Word, we come to 1 Chronicles. Stephen is covering chapters 1 through 9 of this book. The Bible records God's use of otherwise unknown people to teach us valuable lessons. This section of Scripture contains many names. Even in a long, long list of names like we encounter here, we find individuals who serve as worthy examples of faith. Stephen Davey called this lesson, Never Forgotten.
We finished our wisdom journey through the book of 1 Samuel, which ends with the death of Israel's first king, King Saul. The next book we come to then is 2 Samuel, which continues the history of Israel. However, between these two books, 1 and 2 Samuel, we need to place the opening chapters of the book of 1 Chronicles. They're parallel accounts. The book of 1 Chronicles gives us the transition from Saul to David, and it also provides a historical narrative that will continue now all the way through 2 Chronicles. Now, on our wisdom journey through the Bible, I don't want you to be confused. We need to understand that much of what we read in 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, and 2 Kings is repeated in the two books of Chronicles. This is similar, by the way, to what we find in the New Testament Gospels. We're given four separate accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, and much of the material is repeated in these gospel accounts. Sometimes one gospel will give us a little additional unique information. That'll happen back here with the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. So, as we begin our wisdom journey now through 2 Samuel and then on to the books of the Kings, keep in mind that we're going to refer frequently to the parallel accounts in 1 and 2 Chronicles. And a few times, we'll interrupt our journey to focus on some unique material from Chronicles that fits into the timeline, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. Now, what we find here in the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles actually takes place between 1 and 2 Samuel. These 9 chapters here are not included anywhere else, but they set the stage in a unique way for what's about to happen next in 2 Samuel. So we need to stop and take a closer look at this parallel account. Now, if you start reading in the first chapter of 1 Chronicles and you continue all the way through the 9th chapter, all you're going to read is name after name. In fact, hundreds of names are listed here. And if you can stay awake through it all, you'll probably still wonder why in the world we were given all these names. Well, these 9 chapters have some very definite purposes for Israel. For one thing, they provide a reminder of Israel's heritage going all the way back to Adam. They also demonstrate God's choice of Israel as his special people. You see, these genealogies give us a closer look at the priestly tribe of Levi, the tribe of Judah, which emphasizes David's royal family tree. We're also given a closer look at the tribe of Benjamin, from which came King Saul. But there are also some important things that we need to learn from these 9 chapters about genealogies. I mean, think about it. For God to give this much space in his inspired word to make sure everybody's name gets included, well, that gives us some wonderful insights about God. Now, let me give you 3 of them. First, we're given the account of Jabez and his painful past. We find here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 this statement, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Well, Jabez is just one of many names in this long list here, but the text kind of pauses, doesn't it? And it highlights his story. Well, his name means that he was born in sorrow. He was born in pain. There's pain now in every childbirth, at least there was for my wife, and I was in the delivery room with her when all our children were born. And frankly, I was amazed that she was willing to endure that pain all over again. But the birth of Jabez wasn't just painful. It was sorrowful. and we're not told why. But imagine whenever he introduced himself, his name reminded people that there was something sorrowful, painful from his past. Well, that's why the first part of verse 9 sends us a rather interesting message. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That Hebrew word translated honorable means influential, powerful. Well, what happened? Well, here in verse 10, we read, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." Well, God granted what he asked. Well, Jabez was praying what some of us have prayed and what all of us in varying degrees ought to pray. Lord, make a difference in my future. I don't want to be handicapped by the sorrow of my past. That's a great prayer. Now, unfortunately, some have turned it into, you know, this mystical guarantee of prosperity, and frankly, that's nonsense. What Jabez is praying here, and we can pray it too, is, Lord, I don't want to live up to my name. I want to live differently. I don't want my past to dictate my future. And we're told here that God answers his prayer. So this brief text that's dropped in here is a wonderful reminder that our lives don't have to be defined by the sorrow of our past. Let's just obey God as we walk into his will for our future. Well, now here in chapter 5, we're going to find a second very important principle illustrated in verse 18 with the victory of valiant men from the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. They were victorious over some Arab armies, but it had nothing to do with their military power. In fact, verse 20 reads, "They cried out to God in the battle, and he granted their urgent plea, because they trusted in him." This is a timeless principle, beloved. This is going to run throughout the Bible. Success in life is defined as faithfulness to God. And that means whatever success you might have today, God deserves all the glory. Now, the genealogies look ahead here to the temple and the dedicated servants. And this is going to illustrate a third principle to follow. In chapter 9 of 1 Chronicles, beginning here in verse 17 and going all the way through verse 34, is a list of Levites who served in a variety of ways. We're even given the names of the gatekeepers, the utensil counters, the furniture polishers, the spice mixers, the bread bakers, the music makers. What's fascinating to me here is that God isn't just recording what these people did, and they had some unique jobs. In most cases, he gives us their names. Names matter because people matter to God, and they should matter to us. Who people are is more important than what people do. In fact, the moment you begin to think it's more important what God does through you than that which God does in you is the moment you begin to place too much value on results, status, position, rather than character, integrity, and a close walk with God. By the way, these people here aren't going to make it into the VIP list in the world. They opened gates. They counted forks and knives. They sang in the choir. But I want this to remind us all that whatever service we do for the Lord, it does matter to him, even if it's counting forks and spoons. It might not be recognized or applauded on earth, but it's never overlooked or forgotten in heaven. In fact, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 10, he puts it this way, "God is not unjust to overlook your work and the love you've shown for his name in serving the saints." Listen, if God can remember the names of furniture polishers and spice makers, if he can answer the prayer of Jabez to get beyond his sorrowful, painful past, and if God can respond to the dependency of desperate people out on the battlefield, well, he can certainly remember you, hear your prayers, and one day reward your service to others, because ultimately, you are serving him. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson called Never Forgotten here on the Wisdom Journey. If there's any way we can assist you today, please feel free to call us. The number here in our office is 866-48-BIBLE. We'd be happy to get to know you and help you in any way that we can. We post the entire library of Stephen's teaching ministry to our website, and you'll find that at wisdomonline.org. Join us next time as we continue this wisdom journey.